Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, welcome to reality. Glory! Hallelujah. You know, we minister in a jail, and I've been in jail enough times myself, so I got qualified to go back and minister. One of the things about being in jail is you hit a wall of reality. Bam! There's nothing you can do. Every time we hit a wall of reality, now you don't have to be in jail to hit a wall of reality. At least I hope. When we hit the wall of reality, what happens is something occurs in our life that says, whoa, this has not happened. I'm not right. Something's this, whatever it is. Something's going on. It could be a trauma in your life. It could be an event or something that just kind of like took you by surprise. And in that, I always find that it's God taking his hand and going, taking his finger and hitting your shoulder and saying, hello? And what he's saying, there's something wrong with your belief system. Amen. There's something wrong with your belief system. I didn't say it was all wrong, but there's something flawed about the belief system which is causing an individual to perceive incorrect. And when that wall of reality comes in our life, it's because God is trying to get something so that you and I can exchange what is deception for truth. See, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. He rules this earth by deception. He tries to clone everyone according to his way, through worldly music, through worldly TV, through worldly events. You know, people want to become heroes of the world. So he tries to clone people. He promotes the area of success and the area of fame. There's nothing wrong with success, but many people are selling their souls out to be successful. We see the rich and famous. It seems like everything is wonderful with them, but people have no idea the rituals they have to go through once they get over the $200 or $300 million club or whatever it may be, where they actually offer themselves to Satan. And I'm not saying all of them, but majority of them. Where you've got perversion that is a common thing now. It's just common. You can't go down the street without seeing some kind of naked woman trying to sell a vehicle. I mean, everything is promoted by lust. If you do this, you can have all this. So we are in a time and season right now that is critical. And one of the things that is vitally important in our life is to determine what is influencing you and me. And unless we look at and find out what's influencing us, see, because many people don't take the time to look. They just do whatever they think. They do whatever they feel. And they never see things through, then the end is disastrous. And if you and I do not take the time to realize and not justify, but to actually recognize what is influencing us, there would be more success in the kingdom, there would be more advancement, and there would be more glory to God. There would be less shame. See, when a believer backslides, it brings shame to the Lord. I mean, that's reality. That's the way it is. And then many people that have never, who've known this person or whatever, now say, that might have been thinking about becoming a believer, goes, oh, no way, I don't want that. I was that way. I saw a bunch of hypocrites walking around with Bibles. They drank every Sunday. Most of them didn't go to church. And when they went to church, they threw a few bucks in the thing. And it was a bunch of religion. See, because they had an outward walk, but not an inward one. And there's a difference. See, there's a lot of people, even the word says, there'll be many who have a form of godliness, but deny his power. And there's a difference between an outward walk, which is religion, and an inward walk, which is relation. That's when you hear God in you. He speaks to you. He directs you. The Holy Spirit brings you to all truth. But there's got to be exchanges. There's got to be exchanges from deceptions and lies for truth. Because people know some truth. There are people that know truth. And people go, well, why aren't I free? I know the truth. Because you're not practicing it. It must become a part of your life. You must step into the life of truth. And the life of truth is just not knowledge. It's a person. His name is Jesus the Christ. And when you know him more than just God, more than just Savior, more than just Deliverer, more than just Healer, when you know him as Father, Dad, and you're his son or daughter, you're starting a relationship. Again, I repeat this all the time. David said something powerful. He says, I always have the Lord before me. In other words, he acknowledged the Lord before him. See, relationship isn't acknowledging the Lord after you blow it. You acknowledge the Lord before you blow it, and you won't blow it. That's relationship. Always having God before you. No matter what you do, no matter what decision, no matter what's going on in your life, the Lord is before you. Where you can touch him and he can touch you. Where he can guide you. Where it's always, what do you think, Lord? What's next? Does everybody understand? That's relationship. In Mark 16:16, would you read it with me? He who what? Believes. The word believe means to follow, because there's a lot of people that say, I believe, but don't follow. And in the eyes of God, he says, that's a liar. This is reality. If you say you're a believer and you're not a follower, you're a liar. Simple. He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. So he who doesn't follow. And these signs will follow those who believe or who follow. This is powerful. This is the conclusion of everything. Of why we want to make what's unseen seen. And why we need to make what's influencing you to be recognized. It says these signs will follow those who believe. What does it say? In my name they will what? Cast out demons. Demons are your problem. These are disembodied spirits that influence individuals, and they will go into a believer's body. The devil is no respecter. I hear this all the time. Well, how can a believer have a demon? Well, I wonder sometimes if that question isn't from a demon himself, you know. The word says that we live and breathe and have our being in God. Everything's in God. So if everything is in God, hello? Jesus showed up, weren't demons there? I mean, think about Jesus. Jesus, a third of the ministry was casting out devils. Third of his ministry was healing. Third of his ministry was preaching. The problem is demonic influence. And people are still looking at people. They're still looking at circumstances. They're still looking at things that are influencing them. And one of the things that God is saying is we need to let go of our past and our old life to come into a new life. See, if you're not willing to let go, you can't get into the new. Whatever you try to carry from your past into the present will destroy you. Because you can't carry nothing anymore. Only the Lord builds a house. When you start to build it, it will be destroyed. Why? Because you're going to invite demonic influence in your life. Amen? And that's why he says, and these signs will follow. You're going to cast out devils. Hello. And you're going to speak with new tongues. Why? He said, look, you got to get rid of demonic forces. You got to get filled with the Holy Spirit and get empowered. What to what? Overcome. Why? Because when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get new eyes, you get new ears, you get a new heart. You see things differently. You hear things differently. You sense God's presence. You're thirsty and hungry for the Word of God. It becomes food to you now. It's not just some book. It's totally different. It's a brand new life. And that's what the Lord offers. When he says, do you want a new life? What he's asking you is, are you willing to cut loose of everything of your old? If you're willing to cut loose of everything your old and you step into a new, I'll restore what needs to be restored when it's time. Now, if you move out of my time, it's not God's will. You know, there's something powerful. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind. Well, that's a demon. Addiction is a demon. Lust is a demon. In fact, addiction is nothing more than an overwhelming desire, which is called lust. Man, people go to doctors. That's all they want to do is medicate. Why? Because they don't know how to remove a demon from a body. That's all they teach is demon management. Here, let's try and manage your flesh so that it won't react to the demon. They come up with all new kinds of stuff. Bipolar, schizophrenia, all kinds of words. Anything of that reacts. Let's see. They're going to come up with new stuff here shortly, you know, because they're running out of names. Hallelujah. So our fight is not physical, it is spiritual. Amen? Now, I'm sharing that with you this morning because we are in a time where demonic influences overwhelmed. The Bible says in the last days many will depart from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits, seducing, and doctrines of demons, which we are seeing so-called believers are promoting false doctrines. It's all over the place. You've got congregations that now promote same-sex marriage. You got congregations that promote abortion. There's all kinds of things that are going on. So many places are nothing but more than just entertainment, collect money, and build a building. It's not the way it is. Jesus said, go out and disciple, disciple, disciple. Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. Amen? And we are in a season right now, which I want to, it's actually a cycle. It's a sanctification cycle. Everyone say sanctification cycle. Sanctification means separate. We need to come out from among them. We need to be closer to, we are set apart for God. That's what we are right now. In Luke chapter 17, Luke 17. Hallelujah. Luke 17 and verse 20. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Amen. You know, God chose you. You didn't choose him. But now it's time for you to accept the invitation and get trained up. Because if you're not willing to get trained up, you're going to get beat up. Verse 20, let's read it together. But when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of the part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day. You know, do you notice the difference? They married wives and then they were given in marriage. Because they didn't marry wives, they married the same sex. Does everybody get it? And they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is what? He is what? Revealed. Didn't say he comes. It says he's revealed. Now, there's something I want to share here because it's important. Because we are in a sanctification cycle when God is saying it's time to get separated. Why? Because he's coming for his bride soon. It's time to get set apart. It's time to get cleaned up. It's time to get armed up, filled up, empowered up. It's time to come out of the ways and the character of the world. He says two things is going to be in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And most of that was in perversion. And think about it, what was in the days of Noah? Also flood. The days of Lot was called fire. Look at all the fire. If you go and look, search up fire, floods and fire, you'll find that this last year was tremendous all over the world. Why? Because we are in the days of Noah and we are in the days of Lot right now. And the Lord is preparing his bride to come. He's come to reveal, to remove, so his wrath can come. Now, he said, remember they asked about the kingdom. Well, he said the kingdom is within, because the kingdom of God, now the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. And in this, there's something I want to share with you because it's vitally important that we get this understanding. There are three kingdoms. And we've shared this before. There is the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom of Satan, and then there's the kingdom of self, which we call the matrix. Again, there's the kingdom of God, that's where you live in the spirit. There's the kingdom of Satan, and there's the kingdom of self. The kingdom of Satan influences the kingdom of self. That's the matrix. And there's too many believers living in the kingdom of self instead of not in the kingdom of God. They got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And you can't live a gray area. It's simple, black and white. You're either in darkness or in your light. You're not in between. Amen? So in this, because we are in a time, in a season right now, where sanctification is essential, being separate. And in this cycle that we are in right now, there's a cycle that God does, like, in every 7 years. In fact, if you go to Genesis 2 for a second. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 3. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? It says, God blessed the seventh day and what? Sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created. In other words, there's a sanctification. Seven is a number known as complete and perfect, but it's also a time of cycle of sanctification. In fact, what did he do? Well, think about it. We have 7 days a week and so forth, and then rest and whatever. It's the time where Sabbath was a time of sanctifying at that time. They were getting reconnected with God, and so forth. They worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, they did no labor. They acknowledged the Lord to get sanctified. Well, God did that also with the land and so forth. Every 7 years, there would be a part where you would not touch the land. You would let it get sanctified. Why? So it could get renourished and cleansed and so forth, and nourishments, because of all the nourishments were taken to the plants to grow. And then there's the Jubilee, which is 50th year, but you have 49 years, and then there's a sanctification year. It falls into a Jubilee. So we are actually right now, which is pretty wild, because we are in a sanctification. We are in a time of sanctification, separate. In this, God is preparing. He's not only preparing to reveal himself through the body more, but reveal himself to come and take away the church. He won't come to the earth yet. When he comes to the earth, everyone's going to know it. He comes to the earth for his wrath, judgment. That's when he comes to the earth. But when he comes to remove the bride, it says that he will be revealed, and they will see him. They'll see the one that they pierced. In Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. So you think you're here by coincidence? No. And don't look at, well, I needed to come here. I needed it. No, man, God set this up. Right. No, I just happened to stop by and use the restroom and decided to sit down and listen. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus. Ezekiel 33. We're ready for Exodus, yes. Do you know that when God removed them all from Egypt, they all got healed? Nobody left there ill? Hello? Praise God. Yeah. No, it doesn't mean if you're sick, you're not going to go home, okay? You'll get healed on the way. And verse 1, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood be on his own head. I am blowing the trumpet. There is warning. The sword is coming to this land. In verse 5. Is everybody okay? He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Everyone say, I'm called to be a watchman. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I saw the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. How many times did you want to warn someone and you didn't? Blood's on your hand. That's where you need to go repent. Lord, forgive me, and get that blood off. Verse 10. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sin lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So what does he say? Repent and turn away. Quit fooling with sin. Come out from among them. Stop touching unclean things. Get a new life that he offers. Verse 12. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness, now look at this, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. It will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. So he was righteous, but he broke covenant. He's no longer under a covering. He's lost. L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. So all your righteousness that you've done, if you choose to break covenant with God, is gone. Amen? When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts, now look at, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteousness works shall be what? Remembered. This is his word. So when we break covenant and fall, everything's gone. But thank God his mercies and grace allows us to restart. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall what? Die. Why? The wages of sin is death. That's why I tell everyone who you serve, when you die, is where you go. So make sure you're serving the right person. That blows all the theology of this once saved, always saved garbage, because that's not the doctrine of God. Not at all. Those are doctrines of demons. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledges, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Thank God for his mercies and grace. Amen. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely what? Live. Does everybody get this? That's why we're to be warning people. We are watchmen. We're to be warning people because there's doctrines out there that are foolish and man-made. Well, I accepted Jesus 20 years ago. I haven't needed to repent yet. Slam. Get away from that person. Amen. You ain't repented. Oh, me. You're going to be a cooked turkey. And there are many that are still proclaiming to be believers, but they're living in the kingdom of self. Again, there's the three kingdoms. Now, in these three kingdoms, each kingdom has a calendar, its own. Has everybody got this? You have. Hallelujah. So we have the kingdom of Satan, right? Satan has an occult calendar. It's under the arena of the masonry calendar, Masons. They're calling this year the year of Annalucius, which is they're calling the year of light. They're expecting Satan to reveal himself. In fact, think about it. CERN was built over the ancient temple of Apollyon. Do you see all of these things that are going on? I mean, it's crazy. Then you have the kingdom of self, which if they didn't put AD on it, it'd be very troublesome. Jesus had to reveal himself. He came into the kingdom of self, the kingdom, the matrix, and he made sure that his stamp was on the date. But the date was established by man. Does everybody get it? So we are 2015 AD. It's amazing the whole world acknowledges 2015 AD, but they don't acknowledge Jesus Christ. I tell it all the time, especially to the Muslims. Yo, homie. Who do you think created you, man? There's so much religious and garbage stuff out there. So we have Satan's kingdom. It's right now it's called Annalucius. We have the kingdom of self. And then we have the kingdom of God, which is the Hebrew calendar, which they just celebrated and blew the trumpet for the 6,000th year. Hello. Now, you think about it. So God's plan is only 7,000 years for mankind. It's a 7,000-year plan. After that, it's eternity. We still have to enter the 1,000 year of the millennium, which is coming soon. Listen, if the Hebrew calendar just said we just hit 6,000 years, that means there's 1,000 years left. Amen? We've already hit 120 jubilees, 6,000. I mean, we are in the time. That's why we're in that cycle of sanctification, because things are about ready to explode in a mighty way. I'm not saying we're going home today or tomorrow, but who knows? Could happen 2 minutes from now. Make sure you're right with God. I don't care who takes those sneakers. I'm home. I don't care. Hallelujah. You know, who cares? Hallelujah. John 3. Or John 13, I'm sorry. John 13. I got better ones at home. They probably have wings on them. John 13. Sanctification cycle. It's to be set apart. It's the year. It's the time. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girding. What was he representing? Sanctification. Then he came to Simon Peter. There's Peter. And he said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will. You will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. There goes Peter again. I'm surprised he didn't say, get behind me, Satan. You know? Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, my feet only, but also my hands, my head. Man, just dunk me, because I want all part of you. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Because he knew. He said, you're not all clean yet. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he knew you are not all clean. Everyone that was there. There was one that was going to what? Betray him. So when he washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them. Blessed are you. Everybody wants to be blessed, don't they? Nobody wants to be cursed. But some of the things that we do bring a curse. Amen? And people don't even realize it. Things that we even approve of will bring a curse. So what he's saying, look at, if you know these things and you do them, blessed are you. So that's why we've got to what? Warn. We must warn. We must tell. We must blow the trumpet. We are fulfilling priesthood. A priest is one who blows the trumpet. He blows the horn. That's why we have under armor. It's priestly garments. It goes under the armor, doesn't it? See? Matthew 24. Hallelujah. 24. Now, we have three kingdoms. Right? We have three calendars, and we have three events. We have three final feasts left, right? There's three final feasts that must be fulfilled, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Out of the seven feasts, there's the Feast of Trumpets, there's the Feast of Atonement, and there's the Feast of Tabernacles. And only Jesus can fulfill those feasts. The Feast of Trumpets is most likely the removal of the church. The Feast of Atonement is when Jesus comes for Armageddon, and the Feast of Tabernacles will fulfill the 1,000 millennial reign. Is everybody with me? Three kingdoms, three feasts left, three calendars. Amen? Three events. The beginning of sorrows, tribulation, great tribulation. We are almost done with the beginning of sorrows. Five seals have already been broken, I truly believe. We've got another seal to be broke. And just because a seal is broke doesn't mean everything's going to happen at one time. That's why it's called beginning of sorrows. A seal is associated with events that will occur. Each seal has a trumpet and a bowl. But the trumpets will be in tribulation. The trumpets will be in tribulation and the bowls will be in great tribulation. So you have the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Three things again. Does everybody understand this? Verse 29. Would you read it with me? Immediately after the what? Tribulation. It didn't say great tribulation and it didn't say beginning of sorrows, did it? It said tribulation. Tribulation will be 3.5 years. Great tribulation will be another 3.5 years. Is everybody with me? It says, in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. Well, the stars falling from heaven will be meteor showers. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will where? Appear where? In heaven. This is the reveal. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will what? He's going to send his angels out. It doesn't say he's going to come to Mount Olive. This isn't the time yet. He will send his angels with a what? Sound of a trumpet in fulfilling most likely the Feast of Trumpets. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then he says, learn this parable from the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things have what? Taken place. This generation will not pass away till all these things have taken. A generation is approximately 70 years. He's talking about the fig tree, which is Israel, when it became a nation, which was in 1948. That means 70 plus 1948 is 2000 what? 18. Right. So it's very possible. See, we're waiting for a 7-year treaty, but they've been talking about signing a 6-year treaty and so forth and whatever. And we don't even know if they signed it already. We already could be, things could be already escalating. But 2018 is very possible, which I personally, this is my personal opinion, is will most likely be the rapture. Because I believe that that will be the 3.5 years into tribulation or somewhere about that. But we don't know the day or time, do we? But we got to be ready in season and out, don't we? Amen. Is everybody okay? Again, so we see these, there's those three calendars, the satanic calendar, the kingdom of self calendar, and then there's the Hebrew calendar, which I prefer to trust more in the Hebrew calendar than anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, one of the things that's happening in this sanctification cycle is there going to be exposure. Much exposure. In fact, we had a word for 2015 in the beginning of the year, and it talked about it be a year of exposure. And it's still escalating. There's going to be much testing. God is causing this church to bring self-examination and much preparation. 1 Corinthians 1. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Oh, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Would you read it with me? For the message, anybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1, 2, 3. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now listen, the message of the cross, is this the message of the cross? Yes. Okay. So if you have a president that said his country is no longer Christian, is he a Christian? Heck no. You know, I was watching a debate, and the first question is, so Trump gets up there. You know, Trump's the only one that doesn't need a job. Everyone else does. These politicians, they need a job. Trump don't need no job. He's himself. He don't care. Anyways. So he decides to open up the forum, and the first guy starts talking about the president's a Muslim, and we got Muslims here, and all of this stuff, and the camps, and this and that. And Trucker's like, oh, God, we'll get to this later, he says, you know. And I understood that because there's no need to get involved in all of that. But one of the he didn't deny any of it. He just said, yeah, I know. He said, but we'll get to this later. Well, he got mocked by every other politician. So you've got all of these. Every politician said Obama is a Christian. Well, every one of those politicians that said Obama is a Christian is an antichrist. There it is. They are servants of darkness. Because Obama is not a Christian. Let's get this settled and done with. He is an antichrist spirit coming to destroy this country while Christians are dying all over the world, and he's out golfing. That's that. Okay. Hallelujah. Now we got that settled, okay? Praise God. He's a heathen from hell, and that's all it's to it. Verse 19. For it is written, let's read it. Why? Because he don't believe the gospel. Do you understand that? He does. The message of the cross to these people are foolish. If you promote same-sex marriage and you promote abortion, you ain't an offspring of Christ. Down right to it. Well, I'm a believer. You ain't no believer, homie. You're deceived and an idiot, spiritually blinded. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, are you called? Yeah, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Hello, that's us. Verse 27, but God has chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him you are what? In Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and what? Sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Boy, I have a lot left here. Did you pack a lunch? No. We may have part two. That's what my wife told me last week. Why didn't you do part two? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Hey, we want to learn, don't we? Because if we don't learn, we what? Burn. Hey. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's read it. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Read this. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his what? His Holy Spirit. Wow. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here Paul explains last day event and the purpose of sanctification. In verse 1, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," remember the coming, the revealing, amen, which we're calling the rapture, the removal of the church, "and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come." You know, some people think it's come, and this is it. If this is it, I don't want it. Verse 3, I've got better promises than this. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first." Is it coming? Yes, we've been in the falling away for a while. That's associated with the beginning of sorrows. It's also the beginning of the falling away. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." That man of sin is known as Antichrist, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Well, this will be the temple that will be built in Israel. "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." Again, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He, capital letter, he is the body of Christ. Once you and I are removed from this earth, when we are taken out of the way, there'll be no more restraints. None. Can you imagine? No more protection from evil. Think about that. They're going to just bust into homes. They're going to rape. They're going to kill. They're going to destroy. They're going to take. And they're going to behead. And people will not be able to buy or sell without receiving the eternal mark of damnation. So we are still here to warn, to train, and prepare before we are removed. And this is going to happen in our lifetime. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. In verse 8, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. "With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception." All unrighteous deception. Deception. That's how he controls things. That's how he rules things. "Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth." See, you got to love truth. You got to love truth. People say, "I love Jesus," but they don't read the word. Then they don't love truth. How can you love Jesus and not know who he is? Does everybody get it? In verse 10, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe in the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." It says, "But we are not bound to give thanks to God, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through" what? "Sanctification by the Spirit and by belief in the truth, which is the word, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us, given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and" what? "Work." Turn to James 1. James chapter 1, verse 16. Hallelujah. It says, "Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Read it with me, please. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who what? He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, everyone say continue, in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what? What he what? He'll be blessed in what he does. Powerful. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Let's speak this together, please. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the world, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, if you want a new life, you need to get rid of the old one. In verse 3, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor what? Nor what? Give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sanctification, set apart, cleansing time. Come out from among them. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 20. Let's speak it, please. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for what? Honor, and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone does what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In other words, again, what is he asking? Give up the old life. Cleanse yourself from that. Look, don't clean up your life. Get rid of it. See, people are still trying to clean up their life. Get rid of it. Exchange it for a new one. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue what? Righteousness, faith, love, peace. With who? The heathen? The unbeliever? With those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. Okay, here it is. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance, so that they may what? Know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do by him to what? Do the will of the devil. See, people don't even realize they're doing the will of the devil. Why? Well, if you're not doing the will of God, you're doing the will of the devil. It's real simple. Well, I don't know if I'm doing the will of God. Well, then you're doing the will of the devil. There's your answer. Amen? Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Sanctification is set apart. So we are being set apart. Not only being set apart, but we live differently. We live in a whole different realm. We live in a different kingdom. Everything is upside down compared to the world. See, the world calls good evil and evil good. They don't know what righteousness is. They only know what good and evil is. So they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which produces death. So people walk around going, I'm good. And they're going to wake up cooked because their goodness didn't do them any good. That's called self-righteous, prideful. You eat of the tree of life, it produces the fruit of righteousness, which gives him glory. We don't accept glory. He gets all the glory. My life was changed. Nothing I did. Everything he did. That's all I did was cooperate. My cooperation with the life giver changed my life. But I couldn't change it myself. I tried and I failed. Verse 1, Psalm 4. Would you read it with me? Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has what? Set apart for himself him who is what? Godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. What's he doing? He's setting apart those who are what? Sanctified. Again, we are in a time of sanctification. It's a sanctification cycle. Why? Because we're preparing to go home. Don't know exactly when. Don't know the perfect date. But there's preparation. Listen, we are in a time to where we need to be blowing the trumpet loud. Letting people know what's going on. They're going to call you all kinds of names. Theorists and all kinds of things and whatever. Strange, weird, religious. I get a lot of people come up to me. I'm very religious too. Ooh. Stink. I'm not religious at all. I just belong to an eternal kingdom with a king and a father that loves me unconditionally, who decided to die for me and come and rescue me from this place, who sent me here for a purpose. I didn't know that purpose till I got born again. I didn't know that I had a mission to fulfill. I didn't know I was special already and pre-approved. Because see, I lived a life trying to prove myself. And self did nothing but get me in trouble. Hallelujah. So there are those who are sanctified and being sanctified. Amen? Sanctification is a process. But we must cooperate with the sanctification process. Is everybody okay? Come on, I'm going to close here at 1 Peter 4. I think we got enough in. Praise God. 1 Peter 4. Sanctification cycle and preparation. Verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, let's speak it together, please. Is everybody there? But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be what? Serious and what? Watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the what? That fiery trial that's going to sanctify you. Which is to try you, test you, expose you. Cause self-examination and expose your enemy. Beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, and you're the only one, because you're not. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody, an addict. A busybody in other people's matters. A liar. Hello. A fornicator. Verse 16. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, Christ-like, because you're giving a testimony of witness, you are fighting for what is truth, you are speaking, you are telling people about the righteousness of Christ, not the goodness of mankind. And if you are persecuted for that, if you suffer for that, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin where? In the house of God. This is why God is shaking the body of Christ. You're going to find more and more and more exposure. I'm not saying that some will be removed. Some will, God will allow to hang there and hope that they turn before they go to hell. And some he'll just use for his purpose. But judgment is in the house of God right now. And it begins with what? With us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a what? Faithful creator. Listen, it really is time to get serious. It's not a time to play. Not saying you can't play. I mean play with evil. Too many people pet evil. They compromise evil. No, we're to depart from evil, expose evil. Amen? And take dominion over evil. Drive evil out of our life. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this word be protected by the blood of Jesus. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Opening ears, eyes, and heart. In Jesus' name.